take an, I know I never do this, but I want to do it today. I want to take a little side trip.
Get our opinions.
You want to take some pictures of the field trip?
Yeah, I'm going to change my mind about the doctrine.
Yeah.
I wish.
But with the doctrine, it
sounds like a poll.
You know the thing that I always say, that what you hear is what you see, and what you see is what you do.
Could you turn this off, please?
All the way off.
Thank you for clarifying that, Ronnie.
All the way off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like you could turn half
off. And when Christ said it's finished, the idea is to see what's repeated over and over in the scriptures, that the earth is no longer our home. We do not live on the earth. We are seated with Him on the mercy seat, under the wings of the cherubim, in eternity. Now, the gift of God being eternal life. And I couldn't sleep very much last night, so I was just looking at the Gospels from that standpoint. And I found something that I'd never seen before. And that's how the Gospels give these two different pictures of Jesus. And it's John's Gospel that gives us the picture really of who He is, the Son of God, and the others give a picture of who He is as Son of Man. And then Mark sort of does both. But it's critical for your peace, for your sanctification, for your everything, to understand that when Paul talks in Romans about who He has sanctified them, He also justified, who He also justified them, He also, everything is in the past tense. Let's go there real quick, Romans 8. Verse 28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Now, really, at a gut level, that's all I've ever tried to say for 30 years, that all things work together for good, so that you don't have to judge all these things down. You don't have to get upset about something. All things work together for good. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. Past tense. Whom He called, them He also justified. Past tense. Whom He justified, them He also glorified. What should we say to these things? If God be for us, or since God, in view of the fact that God is for us, that's what that word "if" means. In view of the fact that God is for us, who or what can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things, with no effort? Who is He that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. If Christ is in you, then everything is over. Everything is past. Everything is finished. This is why the insistence is constant. Examine yourself. Know your own self. Examine yourself. Know your own self. Know you not that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate. And if you're in the position where you don't know that Jesus Christ is in you, then nothing else matters. If you don't know that for a certainty, then you can't repent. And if you can't repent, then you're just going to, the things are just going to bounce off you, and nothing will ever, your life will just remain the same no matter what you hear, because you don't know. That's why don't give sleep to your eyelids nor rest to your head till you find out the habitation of the Holy One of Israel. Now, if you don't know this, you can't act like you know it. Because it's apparent then that you don't really believe it. And the only way you can know it is by unknowing everything else. Now, let's look in...
In 30, it says, "Then they also call." And then what happens to the ones who are called? And they end up being glorified. But at other places it says, "Many are called and few are chosen." And we talk about how God would that all would come unto Him, but only a remnant come unto Him. It seems contradictory.
That's because it's none of our business.
Well, it's none of our business who's saved. That's not what I'm asking. It appears that these things are kind of, it appears that one is in one place.
Many are called,
all
but
are called, but not all are
chosen.
Not all,
right? Because
in this place, it sounds like all who are called end up being glorified.
Well, it's just a difference. I don't even think it's the same word.
Use of the word, or something.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with.
In the one where
many have an opportunity. All have the opportunity.
But the ones who respond are the ones he's referring to here in the beginning, those he did foreknow?
Right. I mean, it's all over. It's all finished if you know where your life is. Now, we can address that one a little bit later, but right now I want to talk about what these two Gospels show. Let's just take Luke and John. The different apprehension is seen in the Gospels, and that's why the Gospel of John is so critical, so almost mystical. In Luke, he's portrayed as son of Adam. It gives his genealogy, his conception, his birth, his increase in wisdom, his subjection, his baptism, his temptation, his anointing. It goes through the whole process. In John, in the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Period. And that's incredible when you stop and think about it. John gives over and over and over all this thing. What he did nothing of himself. What he saw the Father do, that's what he did. He did nothing of his own. He when he heard the Father, he didn't have a television set so he could see what he was doing. He just was. And in his baptism, the meaning of baptism to him was, this is really the starting point. Because as Son of Man, he was gone. Now, he became Son of both. He was both fully Son of God and fully Son of Man for us. Because we couldn't have partaken of this had this not occurred exactly like it did. Now watch. Let's go. Let's just go. I didn't read the whole thing, but now let's go to the garden. Go to Luke 23, or 22. I mean, this just blew my mind. Starting verse 39. Now he's in the, and when he came out and went as he was wont to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. This is after the Passover. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that you enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, let remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel from heaven strengthening him, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was of great drops of blood falling down to the ground. When he arose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. He said unto them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. And while he yet spake, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the twelve, went before them and drew near unto him, Jesus, to kiss him. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? And when they were which were about him saw what would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with the sword? And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. And Jesus answered and said, suffer ye thus far. And he touched his ear and healed him. And Jesus said unto the chief priests and captains of the temple and the elders which were come to him, be you come out as against a thief with swords and staves? When I was daily with you in the temple, you stretched forth no hands against me, but this is your hour in the power of darkness. Now let's look at the same scene in John. Go to John 18.
That was in chapter 22, I think.
Didn't I say that?
23.
I'm sorry, 22, yeah. No, we're going to John 18. There is no John 22. Okay. So we saw him as suffering as the son of Adam. He's saying, Father, if thou will. We saw the angel strengthening him. We saw him in agony, soaking, seeking sympathy from the disciples, sweating blood. Now let's see him in the garden in the view of John. Go to verse 1, yeah, 18. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Cedron, where was a garden, into the which he entered with his disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus oft-times resorted there with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, whom seek you? And they answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. And he said unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. And as soon as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backwards and fell to the ground. Then he said again, whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore you seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spake of them which thou gavest me, I have lost none. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. And then Jesus said unto Peter, put up thy sword into thy sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Then the band and the captain and the officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him. Now, again, we have, he's the Word incarnate. He knows all things that are about to come upon him. The soldiers falling backward, and he's protecting his disciples. Same scene, two different views. Why? Are they different in fact? No. They're different in seeing. Depending on where you sit is how you see this. And the same is true. Depending on what you hear, if you can hear that you are seated with him in the heavenlies, that it's finished, that your warfare is over, that by one offering you've been perfected forever, that you own all things, that the Lord is your shepherd, you shall not want, then you will sit in that seat and see from that position. If you're still struggling with yourself and trying to fix self and trying to get something becoming better and trying to solve the life's problems, then you're going to see from the standpoint of agony and weakness. And it's critical. hear so that you can see. Now, is this as important to you as it was to me to see this? Anybody have any response?
It's like it's, if you, I'm just thinking that the idea is to see it completely. So, I mean, what we do is we normally only see it from the side of Luke, and the what John was seeing is what eludes us. And once we see that, then we see the whole thing completely. For its truth.
And we see.
And this is always true in all situations and all. It's always true.
Remember how I used to talk about that the purpose of the gift of faith was to see from the top down instead of the bottom up?
And the other thing about our job is to spiritualize the natural rather than making commonplace the spiritual. Same.
I pray that you see the importance of this. I promise you it'll revolutionize how you think about life. So you're no longer a victim. So you're no longer this poor little speck of in a poor little speck of dust in the cosmic universe. You're seated with Him in the heavenlies. Your warfare is over. It's finished. And it's massive. It's more than you can ever even possibly dream of. But that too, then, you empty of. So you always walk in that empty state. But these other things, and nothing can bother you. Nothing can affect the peace. Oh, but you don't understand my situation. Only I've heard that so many times, I'm sick. Yes, I do. You're just common, ordinary flesh. There's no solution to it.
This also brings to mind, he's blinded the eyes of them that believe not, and lest at any time they should hear and see and believe.
Well, that's all I have to say today. Anybody have anything else?
What did you say a minute ago about the purpose of faith was to see from the top down?
Instead of the bottom up.
I don't understand that.
The gift of faith is that you will be able to confess the Lord Jesus Christ. Confess means, it's the word homologio. Speak the same thing. You can't speak the same thing until you've heard the same thing. You can't hear the same thing until you, and you can't speak it until you see it.
Looking from eternity.
Looking from eternity.
Like top, it's like
looking from no time. And then when you look from no time, my God, it's wild stuff happens. You know, that's why we studied the stars and the ancient myths and the labors of Hercules, because they were all just slightly perverted pictures of the one story. There's only one story.
It's like watching the parade from the top of the building to see the whole parade, as opposed to standing on the street corner to see it float by float.
So,
things,
you know, seeing things from the Son of God perspective without the other one would be like those heresies, you know, where this doesn't have anything to do, you know, with me at all, so I'm, you know, just eat, drinking, and marrying, whatever, you know. It's like,
yeah, the two.
There's something, you know, that
you have to see both.
It's complete in that picture. It's so big that it takes two different, you know, ways of viewing it to put it all together. Because who would think that you could be in that place of agony and you know, like it's described in Luke, and still know that everything is solid, you know, and it's like we can't put it together in our minds.
But this is why the only way we can put it together is by suffering, affliction.
Yeah.
Yeah, it can't only be true on the mountaintop. It has to be true. It has to be experienced as true.
That's why it's so critical. Not remember what we just studied. Be not hasty to leave his presence. You leave his presence the moment you think something isn't the way you think it should be. So your mind automatically zoom. Until you know that any place other than his presence is no place. But as long as you think there is some solution, some other place, some other do, then you're going to, you know, then the slightest little hickey is going to cause you to leave his presence and go up to your little mountaintops. Your cute little mountains. We love to lie. We don't have to read the Buckner chapter again, do we? Anybody wants to read it, you can read what I'm talking about. Go to Isaiah 57.
I put that recorded and I just stick it in.
Yeah. Catch it in there.
It's an audio book written by Gary.
I was seeing this, the pivotal scripture for me this morning was where the cup was my father's, given me shall I not drink of it. And I wasn't quite getting what you were saying. And I was feeling a little guilty about it with that. And then I read that, and it's like, that just happened to be what was in my cup. And it's just, it is a matter of whether you are judging. And I was judging myself for not being quite as emotionally as high as you were, and not quite getting what you were saying. But that just happened to be.
Yeah, but again, it's not about you. That's why that feeling should have been instantly spoken.
But I saw it as that's what was in my cup.
I understand, but what's in your cup is not for your benefit. It's for the body's benefit, because there's probably others that were in the same position.
Yeah, other people were speaking at the time, so I just waited
to
understand.
Okay.
But I agree.
It has to be those things that come up like that. Those things that come up like that, God finishes sentences. Those things that come up like that have to be, they're as important as probably 1,000 times more important than anything that I could say. And that's the exhortation. But the truth of the matter is you end up believing that your response isn't important. So you just go, I'm just this poor little person and I can't. I love victims. I was speaking facetiously.
I already said I love Pete.
Only when he's a victim of me.
What's all this about? So your jewelry?
Anyway. Take a big guy.